Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/radiocafe. I would like now to welcome Bill Hutchison. It is Animal Friday. I am back from a long trip. And first of all, Bill, I wanted to thank you for sitting in for me for the last few weeks.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I'm not going to lie. It's a little relieving to be back on the appropriate side of the microphone.
Was it stressful?
It was totally enjoyable and totally stressful. And I realized that despite these aspirations I have toward being a big, giant Santa Fe radio personality, you really have the market cornered on that.
I don't know about that, but it's great to see you. Great to be back.
Thank
Robert
you.
Knott, of course, will be with us in a little while, speaking of the arts. And I can give you both a hard time for making fun of me while I was gone.
That sounds good. We got a number of complaints for our various performances, but mostly from our mothers and friends.
You got complaints from your mothers?
Yes.
That's pretty bad.
It's terrible.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, it is Animal Friday.
Animal Friday.
The first Friday of every month, you and I and sometimes other people talk about animals. And this is the 4th of, tomorrow's the 4th of July.
It is.
Which means that there's a lot of fireworks going off. In fact, they started last night in my neighborhood.
Quite loud. Both a few of Mother Nature's fireworks and some man-made fireworks.
That's right.
At my house. Yeah, fireworks on July 4th, you know, we get very excited. We tend to have a lot of family barbecues. We have friends over. It's a jolly time for us. It's sort of Christmas in the summer. This is our big time. But the reality is for animals that it can be pretty terrifying. And the days following July 4th are some of the biggest intake days at the shelter for animals. Fireworks are so scary. Dogs and cats like a relatively patterned life. And they like things to be today like they were yesterday. The way they'll hope they'll be tomorrow.
Except that they would like more walks than they got yesterday.
More walks, definitely more walks, but it's always more walks. So that's to the same kind of consistency. But fireworks are really terrifying. It's not just the flash, it's the banging, it's the popping, it's the crowds, it's the decontextualization of their normal lives. You know, they're used to a certain pattern, and we have friends over in our houses, and it moves them into different rooms, and that's all kinds of craziness before the fireworks even start. Their ears are just so sensitive, and the noise is crazy making. A lot of dogs and cats will do anything to get away from the terror they feel when they're hearing this happen. And we've seen dogs that have gone through screen doors, through glass doors, that have managed to dig through a wooden door to get out, destroyed the carpet, just because they're so petrified. So there are a few things that we can do to keep them safe and sound. And
general anesthesia.
General anesthesia. Actually, it's very true. One of the things that you can do if your dog is particularly sensitive, it really drives them crazy, call your vet. Get some sedatives. I'm not a big fan of over-medication of animals, but I think when you're put into the position of needing to balance their safety and mental security with that consideration, with that medical consideration, sometimes sedation can be the thing that gives them the peace that doesn't freak them out. And I think in that situation, a little medicine goes a long way.
What about Benadryl?
I've heard very good things about Benadryl, and I've used it a couple of times on previous animals. You really want to talk to your veterinarian to get the dosage right. I would not recommend just popping the cap on a bottle of Benadryl and glugging it down the dog's throat.
No, but if you think about the fact that you take two and you weigh 150 pounds, and then you can sort of proportionally scale down for your dog's weight.
Very true. Benadryl is actually a very easy way to give your dog a little calm and peace. But do call your veterinarian and just get a little quick phone consult on what might be an appropriate dosage. Benadryl for kids is often quite good. You can do other things. If your dog is a little skitzy but doesn't necessarily need to be medicated, being with your animal, providing the comfort that company brings, keeping them in a room that they're used to and safe. A lot of times folks will move them into a laundry room, a utility room, a garage.
Yeah, so why go out and actually see the fireworks when you can stay home in the laundry room with your dog?
Exactly. Putting the dog in the laundry room is new for the dog. It's really not much better than say, popping them in a kennel for the fireworks night, because it's unknown. There's not going to be a lot of comfort. You know, we may think, oh, he can't hear him in here. But the dog's like, what the hell am I doing in here? I never have to come in here. And then all of a sudden, they're in a new place in your house, confined, and hearing all these explosions going on outside. Welcome back to World War II. It's going to be very terrifying for your animal. So keeping
one thing that's noticeable, though, is that after after it's over, it's a very quick recovery time, and then they act as if nothing ever happened. They don't seem to have PTSD about it.
No, I don't. Well, I do think some animals tend to be a little more fragile psychologically than others, but on the whole, absolutely. And dogs certainly get unfreaked pretty quickly. But we still end up having a lot of, and especially because some of the animals that get the most freaked out are the ones that are least used to the world at large. You know, some very well taken care of, sweet animals who are not used to strange things happening. So when they get out and get lost and start, the 5th through the 8th of July is consistently a massive intake time for us at the shelter.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. They get so scared, they want to get away any way they can, and so they run. They just run and run and run and run and run. And failing to leave a trail of Reese's Pieces behind them to find their way home, they end up at the shelter a lot of the time. And it often will take several days for them to slowly make their way into the shelter through good folks picking them up and bringing them in, or animal control or animal services. And it's really, you know, these things can be avoided. It is really fun to go see fireworks displays. But if you have a dog or a cat, staying with them will go a long way. Putting them in a comfortable room they're used to with a TV or a radio on, something to mollify the intense noise, all that stuff goes a long way to keeping them home. But if they do get out, if your dog runs off, check the shelter's website, file a lost report, put a lost report on Craigslist and in the New Mexican and in the Reporter. Do all these things right away, because there will be, I guarantee you, there will be a mass of lost dogs and cats starting the evening of July 4th.
So more dogs and cats come in after July 4th. Do more of them also get matched up with their owners than
usual?
Absolutely,
absolutely. Well, Santa Fe is one of those strange communities where we have one of the highest, we call it an RTO rate, return to owner rate, of many cities. San Francisco gives us a little competition, but Santa Fe has an amazing return to owner rate. So most of the dogs and a significant number of the cats go back home where they belong. But sometimes, before I worked at the shelter, it seems so obvious in retrospect, but before I worked at the shelter, I didn't think that's where you'd go look if your dog got lost. And I think putting that in our brains, because we think it won't happen to our animal, and we think that right up until the point where it does, is important to remember. Go to the shelter. I always like to say, lost pets come to the shelter. Do you?
That's nice. I had all three of my dogs microchipped a few months ago.
Very good.
And they have, I think it's the, is it the last Friday or the second and fourth Friday of the month?
Now it's every Friday.
It's every Friday.
Absolutely.
They have a,
today's the day,
a good deal on having your dog microchipped. I think it costs $20.
Absolutely. The shelter clinic, the shelter satellite in-town clinic between Kohl's and Outback. Every Friday we do shot clinics and microchipping clinics. So if you're planning on enjoying fireworks, being near fireworks, being inside the city limits in any way, today's a good day to trot you and the pooch down to the clinic and get your dog microchipped.
It costs $20 and it doesn't even hurt them.
No, it lasts forever.
And what it means is that when they are found, they are scanned like a pound of butter in the grocery store.
Absolutely.
And then your name will come up, your phone number will come up, and the dog can be returned to you. And this is also gives you peace of mind if you are one of those people like me who sometimes takes off their dog's collars when they're in the house, because if the dog gets out without its collar, you're really in trouble.
Absolutely. They often will escape their collar. I have a little fat-necked pug, and he has slipped out of his collar more times than I can count. He has yet to slip out of his skin, which is where his microchip lives.
Right.
So I know that's very safe, and it has gotten him home more than once. He is a little blind dog, and when he escapes, he wanders aimlessly like Kane in Kung Fu. And unlike Kane, the microchip gets him right home.
Right. My dog was once found in the parking lot of the Pantry restaurant.
It's very nerve-wracking. Well, you know, they have excellent breakfast deals. I can really understand the inclination.
Well, I think that's why she went. I think she would go to the back door, scratch on it, and say, "Hello, I'm a poor little thin dog.
That's right.
I've never eaten before. Could you please give me some tortillas?
May I have the two egg huevos with an extra side of Consuelo sauce, please?" That's my favorite pantry meal. So, yeah, all these things are really important to keeping them safe during fireworks season. And I often feel a little strident about it, because I think it's one of those things that we as animal owners don't always take seriously. But put yourself in your animal's shoes, so to speak, as much as you can, and realize that July 4th, despite the fact that we are celebrating our independence with rockets, red glare, and bombs bursting in air, it just scares the devil out of our animals.
And another thing that I think some wonderful entrepreneur could come up with, maybe this exists, but I haven't seen one, is a soundproof box that the dog could go into. I actually had somebody try to build a box, and we put foam in it. It didn't work at all. It was no more soundproof.
That sounds a little bit like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for dogs, Mary Charlotte.
Well, you know, because what my dog does is she goes into the bathroom. There's a kind of a little linen closet in there, and she jumps into the linen closet and hides inside the blankets, and that's pretty soundproof.
Absolutely, and probably very comfortable. I have tried on my big dog something called a thunder blanket, and that has given me some success. The thunder blanket is essentially, speaking of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, it's like a straitjacket of sorts. The arms and legs are free, but it squeezes them fairly tight and gives them a sense of security that they might not otherwise have. It doesn't work on every dog, but I just have had great success, especially during thunderstorms and fireworks times with a thunder blanket. And I'm sure you can get them at pet stores here in town. It's really superb. But anything, I really just don't think anything is too much to try and keep them sane. You think about what happens to people in wartime situations, just the citizenry, when they're surrounded by shelling and bombing and whatnot, and how completely traumatizing that is. And while it may not last quite as badly for our dogs and cats, it's still terrifying. It's really terrifying. I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night last night. There was some massive crack of thunder and lightning. It flashed through my closed eyelids right before the eardrum bursting sound slammed into my head. And that scared the heck out of me, and I knew what was going on. I had a very clear idea what was going on. It was still very scary. So for our animals who are not able to say, oh, it's just a thunderstorm, or thank goodness July 4th only comes once a year, they're not in that space. It's
right.
Just their world has turned upside down and become chaos.
You know what else turns their world upside down, which I discovered several weeks ago when I left for my trip, is
giant gyroscopes that they can lock themselves in and spin around in?
I think
you mean figuratively upside down.
They don't like roller coasters either, and they don't like those loop-de-loops at the carnival.
No, my dog hates those.
Yeah, no. And also, it's really hard to get the seatbelts to fit them
yes,
properly
if
the dog is below
down.
20 pounds.
That's
yeah.
Right.
But my dog, Honey, knows all about the suitcase. So when you take out the suitcase and
it's
you start packing it, she looks at you with these eyes that say, Mom, I will do anything. Anything, just
why
name
do you
it.
Have to go?
If you just don't go, just
yeah.
don't go.
Oh,
and
that's
you look
painful.
At them, and yeah, because they can't. You have to say, look, I got a scholarship.
I'm going to Bali.
I'm
you
going
can
to
get
Bali.
In the suitcase or live with it while I pack it.
Right, and I don't think that you want to be in Bali. And Balinese dogs, they don't have it as good as Santa Fe dogs.
I believe.
If
it.
I may say so, and I was only in one place, which is the city of Ubud, and I saw a lot of dogs with terrible skin problems, with half of their fur missing, dogs who don't really get fed, they sort of get scraps and maybe bones, and they're all free, which is really nice for them, and it didn't bother me at all. I mean, and especially at night, I went out one night to the only late night bar in the city of Ubud. It completely shuts down. But I was out for some reason at 1 a.m. and walking around town with one of my friends from the trip. And every dog in Ubud, Bali, was out roaming the streets.
Wow.
And
it becomes their city.
It becomes
night.
Their city.
That's fascinating.
It's really interesting. And I did a lot of audio recording. And the opportunity for recording dog barking at that time of night is fabulous. And most of them aren't friendly. You do not want to pat them. You do not want to get near them. Many of them guard the entrances to their houses. And so when you walk by, they say, ruff, 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 ruff. But if you approach them quickly, they don't. They are skittish. They sort of retreat back into their house, but then they come out again and yell and bark at you. Sometimes so many dogs become stray dogs and breed that they are then euthanized by the government and the mass dog kills. Most of the dogs that I saw seem to be owned, although many of them don't have collars, but they don't really, with some exceptions, and those people tend to be more westernized, become part of the family. they're more guardians of the house than family members.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think you can learn so much about cultures watching how they interact with animals at different times. And we were looking at some of the pictures before we went on the air, and in front of many of these houses and temples and whatnot, Mary Charlotte was showing me these carved stone guardians, and then we'd flip between a picture of a carved stone guardian and a little fuzzy, pointy-eared guardian sitting in front of the house, and it's fascinating.
They perform the same roles. One is against evil spirits, and one is against evil people.
That's right, and I suspect it's a highly functional arrangement. But yeah, it's got to be a little tough coming from our environment and seeing that difference in the way the animals live.
Yeah, you can suspend judgment because that's the way they treat their dogs, and they have a lot going on in their society that we don't have going on. For example, they have a whole ideology based on peace, harmony, non-vengeance.
Shocking.
In the city that we were, there's very little crime.
And not a McDonald's and a Starbucks.
Not a McDonald's, not a Starbucks. Although there are many, many 24-hour Circle Ks.
I found when I was traveling across Western Europe last summer, Circle Ks are, no, it was 7-Elevens. They were everywhere. And very popular among the kids who would wander in at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's a great place to go at 2 in the morning. It's air-conditioned.
Yeah, very strange. The ubiquity of the convenience store.
Yeah, and it's weird because here we say, oh, how, ugly America phenomenon, the convenience store. But 2 in the morning in Ubud, Bali, it's kind of convenient.
Absolutely. Those little West, strange, like little Western outposts throughout the whole globe.
It's very bizarre. We have here in Santa Fe Animal Shelter some cats.
Yeah, we talk a lot, and I hope this doesn't fall on deaf ears because I've talked about it so many times. But we're really, really slammed with cats right now. And we are so slammed with cats that we're very, very concerned about being able to find homes for them. I put together a little list thanks to our resident cat maven. You know, I know our cats reasonably well. She knows our cats like I know my friends and family. She spends hours and hours and hours and hours and hours every week with them. We have cats that have been with us since November of last year, and they desperately need to find homes because those cats are in kennels that we would very much like to move other adoptable cats into. We have dropped our cat adoption prices very, 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 very low. You can see those on our website, sfhumanesociety.org, as well as all the cats we have for adoption. And if you adopt one, we'll waive the adoption fee for a second one. We are just desperate to get them into good homes.
Well, that's good. Adopt two little kitties, and they can keep each other company.
Absolutely. They grow up together, teach each other the ropes. You can get a grown-up and a kitty and have a built-in mentor. We have Jolie. She's been with us since November 18th. She's black and white, 2.5 years old. I want to share with you this lovely personality profile. Jolie was mom to 4 beautiful kittens. After a respite away from other cats, she's now living peacefully with 3 kittens and an adult male. Jolie is a gentle girl who does not demand a lot of attention. She enjoys gentle pets and looking out windows. These are all true facts. This is not marketing. This is our dear, dear
cat
maven.
Oh, no, it's not marketing.
This really isn't. If I had written it, it would definitely be an upsell. But this is Colleen's very, very deep and honest picture of these cats. We've got Sunny, a beautiful 5-year-old orange tabby cat who's been with us since November. Lita, a black and white short hair. Lita lives up front, and she gets the run of the adoption lobby in the mornings. She has a lot of extra toes. She runs around.
She has extra toes?
Yes, polydactylism, we call it. They're actually attached to her feet. She had them in her pocket for a while, just in case one fell off or got flat.
Oh, yeah, parts toes.
Yes, parts toes, exactly. But now she's got them all firmly affixed to paws. She's very, very talkative and is one of the only cats I've ever met who actively, I believe, plays hide-and-seek. She likes to get behind something and then wants you to find her, so she'll squirk and squeak and squawk until you come over and track her down. We've had Georgia, a beautiful black short-haired cat, since January. Georgia belonged to an elderly man in Oklahoma who passed away last year, and Georgia ended up at the shelter. She really doesn't like living in a kennel. She really needs to live in a house. Some cats can do okay in their little cat condos, and some cats are just built for home and lap living, and Georgia's one of those. And Lisette, we've had since December of last year. She's another black short hair. She's a head hugger. She's in the morning. She really just likes to kind of come at you and give you these forepaw hugs.
Is that supposed to be a good thing?
Oh, it's a very good thing if you're in the mood for it. I'm guessing if you're sleeping, then Lisette might be a little annoying, but I suspect that the love and affection that you get the rest of the time will more than make up for it. At least that's the equation with my head-hugging cat. She loves toys, and she's a cautious get-to-know-her, but boy, what a heck of a cat. And these five are just a few. We have literally dozens and dozens and dozens. And if you need to find yourself a feline companion, or if you just feel like you can help the shelter out, boy, we really could use it. These cats are good, good cats. And Santa Fe, this means you. If you can help out now, right now, today, this week is the time. We'll keep the adoption prices for cats low all summer long. We'll call it the Summer of 100 Cats. So we've got about 100 cats,
wow,
literally, that we need to find homes for this summer.
Summer of 100 Cats. You know, it's helping out the shelter, but it's also helping out the person who adopts the cat, because most of them are probably good mousers. So if you have any mouse problem in your house, that'll be solved.
Absolutely.
And
they're amazing.
And
companions.
They're the good little doggies.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
I really love my dogs and I really love my cats, but there are certainly moments where a cat's independent spirit goes a long, long way. And the fact that they are so unto themselves in so many ways. And these cats, the five we talked about, a lot of our cats at the shelter, they are, they're just dear. They're just incredible peers that you can bring into your home and share a life with. And I just can't talk our cats up enough. We have amazing cats, and Santa Fe, they need you.
Do you encourage people to keep the names of the pets that they come with?
Oh, heck no. We make those up. I firmly believe that finding your animal's name is kind of one of the first big projects that you undertake in partnership with your new animal. All of my animals, they wait a long time to get their names, because I think sometimes a name is something that you have to just sort of wander into, and it fits and it clicks and you know you've got the right one.
It's a sort of shamanistic process. It's Carlos Castaneda.
I don't want to get too Santa Fe about it, but I'll say absolutely. Part of the way we stay really attached to them, we want to be attached to the animals that we have during their brief stay at the shelter. And one of the ways that we can really connect with them is by naming them. So we don't talk about that black and white cat up in adoption cat kennel number 45. We talk about Jolie, because Jolie is Jolie. But when Jolie goes home with Mary Charlotte, Jolie may find that she has a totally different name unknown to herself.
Like Spot.
But let me tell you a strange, very Santa Fe story about names. We had this wonderful cat, old guy named Gramps in the shelter. Very, very cool cat. Looked exactly like a cat named Gramps would be. One day this woman comes in who said she was an animal communicator. And, you know, I'm often hesitant about that, but always open-minded. And she comes out of adoption cat, and she says, this cat's name is Walter. His name's not Gramps. And he looks like a Walter, so I think, well, that's good enough for me. It's interesting. I don't need to put much stock in it either way. But within just a few days, another person comes in. A woman comes in and goes into our cat kennel and flips out and starts crying, Wally, Wally, Wally. And she's looking at Gramps, and Gramps, it turns out, is her cat who has gone missing. And
his name was Walter.
His name was Walter. She called him Wally for short. Blew my mind.
Wow.
Really blew my mind. So,
ladies and gentlemen, there we have it.
Yes, you can see my disbelief suspended over the table right in front of us.
It was very interesting.
And, you know, I still say that the jury's out, but my hesitance...
The jury's in on that one.
My hesitance and cynicism had a mighty blow delivered to it in that moment.
Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. And the telephone number over there is
983-4309. Feel free to check out what's happening and all our adoptable animals on our fancy, beautiful new website at www.sfhumanesociety.org.
We're going to take a break right now, and I hope Bill Hutchison will stay with us. Robert Knott is on deck. Stay tuned to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us here just about every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Welcome back, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
How are you? You can keep
fine.
Bill around for kicks here?
Yeah, Bill, so, you're still here.
If you don't mind that I stay, you know, it's a very comfortable table. I'm not done with my coffee. And
you've gotten used to it.
I have. I've gotten used to seeing Robert on Friday morning.
He's got a cousin.
On a very serious note, I would like to... at this moment, send my condolences to all the people who lost friends and family and loved ones on in that terrible car accident, which happened right at the very end of the of my trip away, and I know it's really shaken up the city.
Yeah, it's been quite a. We lost one of our shelter family members, I've really understood for the very first time when you say something impacts a community, what that means when the whole community is really genuinely deeply impacted.
Right.
I think everybody lost something, and I was also away when it occurred, and I wasn't paying attention to the local news until I got back, and it was a lot. Everyone was talking about it, so
yeah, very the fragility of our lives and our bodies and our existence and our path just really gets put in the forefront when you encounter something like that, even if you aren't close to the. To the young people, but those who are and were, it's beyond unbearable.
Very true, very true.
We have right now, on a completely different note, a ticket giveaway, and Mary Lynn LeBlanc is in the control room to tell us about it.
Yes, this is for the Cowboy Junkies at the Santa Fe Brewing Company. That's Cowboy Junkies. This Saturday, July 11th.
Wait, that's next Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This next Saturday, right. Oh, my goodness, I thought it was this Saturday. Thank you. I've got July 7th right in front of my eyes.
July 11th.
I've got the 4th of July on my brain today.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah. Well, this one is at 7:30 at the Santa Fe Brewing Company, July 11th. That's a Saturday. And the first person who calls me at 428-1382 will get a pair of tickets to the Cowboy Junkies.
Excellent. That's,
okay, 428-1382. Here they are.
Okay. So, Robert Knott, what is happening this weekend? And
it's
this coming
a giant
week?
Weekend of
antics?
Visual antics, of course, 4th of July stuff, opera stuff. But I'm going to just start real fast with one movie. I went Wednesday, opening day, to see Public Enemies. It's just a dynamite Warner Brothers type movie. It's by no means a great classic. It's just a really good, entertaining picture directed by Michael Mann. Johnny Depp is terrific as John Dillinger. It flies. It totally captures you. I saw it Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock with a small but captivated audience at first screening. And next week will be my full review. I did give it a 3.5 chilies. And it's just a good film. If you're looking to go to the movies this weekend, you want to be entertained, it's good stuff. If you like gangster pictures, a lot of Tommy guns doing all the shooting and all the talking, that's the picture for you. It's at Regal 14. In more serious talk, last year you and me did the show from the Plaza on the 4th of July when it was Pancakes
on
the Plaza.
Yeah, we get a break this year and next year, huh?
Right, but the Pancakes on the Plaza is tomorrow. It'll be the 34th annual benefits United Way's Santa Fe Children's Project, as well as the New Mexicans Community Fund and the Rotary Club of Santa Fe. Starts at 7, goes to noon, although basically stuff is happening there all afternoon. There's a car show until 1, an arts and crafts fair until 5. They've already got the plaza shut off, by the way. I drove by there this morning. The what do you call those sawhorses that the police put up, saying, you know, performance ahead. So avoid the plaza. If you don't want to take part of any of this, just avoid the plaza this weekend because it's going to be definitely 4th of July related. There's the Firecracker Pajama Parade at 8:30 tomorrow. Bill and I will both be in that. What kind of pajamas do you wear?
I wear these race car footy pajamas with one little back button-up back flaps.
You're kidding. I love those. Those are great.
It's the best.
I can't go because in the summer I don't wear anything. Anyway, it's all day tomorrow. It's basically free. You can get shuttle buses for a cheap fee. I'm going to give you a phone number, 216-2986. You can find parking. There's stuff happening. It's down there. Meanwhile, if you want to drive south on 14, the former mining town of Madrid is celebrating its history with walking tours, music, a community softball game, and a parade. Starts at noon tomorrow. So you could conceivably go to the pancake breakfast, then quickly get down 14 to Madrid. 2 to 6 is live music and food at the Old Coal Mine Museum. There's going to be a showing of historic photos. It looks like a really fun thing. Also, Johnson's of Madrid, a gallery at 2843, New Mexico 14, is going to have contemporary photos by Madrid residents. Just swing on down there. It's free, unless you eat or something. And again, I'll throw a phone number at you if you want to know more, 471-1054. The opera. What do you know about La Traviata? You're always interviewing that lady. What's her name about
Desiree
the opera?
Desiree Mays.
Ah. Her name sends chills up my spine and thrills up my tongue. Anyway, so what's La Traviata about? A courtesan?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm going tonight. I'm going to opening night. Natalie Dessay is the sylph-like, wonderful singer. And the whole opera season is before us. And
Silflake, what a wonderful opportunity to use that particular construction. I'm going to have that parading around in my head all wispy-like for the rest of the day.
Craig Smith did an interview with Natalie and Laurent Nauri. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Who's also in the piece in today's PASA. Great coverage of the opera, and PASA had nothing to do with it. I was out of town.
Craig does some of my favorite opera writing, I have to say. He becomes very impassioned when he writes about opera.
He does. He's an excellent opera writer. He's an excellent classical music writer. And we're happy and thankful we still have him. It's great work. I did write a fun piece on famous elixirs in history. You should read it. It's just goofy. Page 34, including my own encounter with a Spanish fly when I was in my in the 1970s. Remember those comic book ads in the back?
I vividly remember those.
Did you ever order anything?
Reader. You know, I didn't really understand at the time I was reading comic books what the illustrations of the the line drawing of the scantily clad woman and the advertisements for Spanish fly really were about. I genuinely believed it was some kind of European
really
insect. About the libido and how to make it steam and go wild and crazy, not about bugs, as my useful single-digit imagination had.
The X-ray glasses didn't work. They were useless. You thought you were going to see your friends in their underwear.
Not helpful, yes.
And then the thing that you were supposed to drill through the wall to see lusty lesbian librarians in action. Of course, they had photos of really beautiful models with no tops on in the back of the wrestling magazine. So you thought, you never thought your own librarian doesn't look like that. But how are you going to get down the library? You had to drill a hole in the wall and put this basically, it was a spy thing. It was terrible, naughty, voyeuristic, and against the law. And it's horrible that people participated in that.
Terrible.
Especially
horrible,
when it went through
you.
The back of my sister's closet and all I could see were her dresses hanging there. Anyway, yes, I wrote a fun piece. Check out the opera coverage and the Santa Fe Desert Chorale coverage that Craig also did in today's PASA. That they opened this week with a number of events, including a musical version of Measure for Measure and Glorious Voices, Sacred Spaces at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi. There's a calendar on page 45. Go ahead.
And by the way, the tickets for the Cowboy Junkies are gone.
Cowboy Junkies.
What Marilyn didn't say was that it wasn't Cowboy Junkies the band. It was just a bunch of dirty dudes in need of rehab. You're just going to go see a bunch of Cowboy Junkies.
That figures. That,
sorry, ticket winner.
That's messed up.
It is. It's the old KSFR bait and switch.
There are a ton of, meaning like 40 gallery openings tonight. I'll just go through a bunch of them. Page 65 of the calendar put together by Pam Beach and PASA. Adib Kadori Fine Art has paintings by Stephen Boone, reception 5 to 7:30 on Canyon Road. Blue Rain Downtown has two-man show, work by Arthur Lopez, sculptors, and paintings by Benjamin McPherson, 5 to 7. El Zaguan has transition paintings by Brenda Roper, 5 to 8. They're on Canyon Road. The Flying Cow Gallery in Warehouse 21 has Auditorium of the Macabre. Yeah, that guy. And Fantastic, watercolors, drawing, sculpture by Nicholas Duran Geiger, 5 to 7.
It's much worse for Robert when he has two grammar and pronunciation Nazis on at the same time.
I've had trouble all my life speaking, and that's the truth. And I often play it up on the show, but it's also I've had a disability since I was a kid, an inability to pronounce correctly. And again, it's surprising that I'm a writer, but I do use a lot of reference books. I'm one of those rare people that does not speak well but can write pretty well with the help of a lot of books, but I don't try to cover it. And I do apologize. I rarely make these intentionally. Some of my malaprops are purposeful, but even those, like I just think of a word, and then I just say it. I say, oh, so you're being antiseptic about it. I'm not thinking about what I say. And then she calls me on it. You let it go. You join in.
Well, some of us are gracious, good-looking, and grammatical.
Oh, meaning some of us is the other guy at the table, not me. Every time you get two men on here, you try to put the other one against me. I think you'd like to put them both against you. Anyway, so opera, besides the Santa Fe Opera, tomorrow night is Elixir of Love. And we also have Santa Fe Opera. Boy, you should see the blushing faces. Backstage tours. Visit the costume shop, the prop shop, production areas, 9 a.m. every morning. What do you guys know about Juan C.D. Flamenco Theater Company?
They're a terrific flamenco company.
Right, Craig Smith gave them a great review. 8:30 p.m. tonight, Maria Benita's Cabaret Room up at the Lodge of Santa Fe. Got to pay to get in, 988-1234.
Hey, on a completely different note than anything we've been talking about today, Small Dog Rescue will be at Zoe and Guido's on July 4th from noon until 3.
Small Dog Rescue are very good folks. We've enjoyed working with them. They tend to specialize, as the name says, in some very, very, very cute small dogs.
They specialize in cuteness.
I have a selfish reason for hoping it rains all weekend to downplay the fireworks, because I have two dogs. Rio doesn't care about the fireworks. He's fine. His ears perk up. He's like, what's that over there? But Jem goes nuts with them, and as you two were talking about.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope, fireworks, at least neighborhood fireworks, get rained out. Maybe not the big one at Santa Fe High. which is tomorrow night, by the way. There is a big show at Santa Fe High.
Right. Of course, I'm staying home in the laundry room with my dog.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
In the linen closet.
The 16th annual Santa Fe Wine Festival is Saturday at El Rancho de los Colondrinas. You like wine? It's noon to 6. Get out there at noon and get totally wasted by 3. Do not drive yourself home. There's going to be music, blues and boogie-woogie, food concessions, arts and crafts. I love that Living History Museum, 334 Los Pinos Road. Here's a phone number, 471-2261. You do have to pay to get in.
An excellent opportunity to pick your designated driver before you go.
You are not joking. Jackalope Summer Concert Series starts at 2 o'clock Saturday with Los Radiators. Classic country. I hope they play Amarillo by morning. That's out at 2820 Cerritos Road. There's a nice little prairie dog village there.
I remember hearing somebody do once a beautiful cover of that song called Northern New Mexified it and called it Española by Morning. Totally beautiful and hilarious and heartbreaking.
Really? I'd love to hear it.
I can't remember any of the lyrics. It was fantastic.
Española by Morning up from Santa Fe.
I think that's how it started.
That's the town where you go to so you can make love and play. Oh, man, I got to hear that song again. What else is happening? Oh, summertime swing dance. This is a good thing for Mary Charlotte. 3 to 6 p.m. before the fireworks.
I don't swing dance.
No, but you definitely are interested in swinging. Music by Elevation Vocal Jazz with members of the Southwest Jazz Orchestra, 3 to 6 Sunday at Santa Fe Scottish Rite Center. Children, no charge. Otherwise, you got to pay to get in. For information, call KSFR at 428-1382. You don't know about this? Oh, you just got back from ballet.
I just got back.
Hey, we didn't even ask you about that. So what's going on? Did you dance? Did you wear, like, exotic clothing?
Was yes. I studied gamelan music, and there's this instrument called the tinkwik, which is a bamboo xylophone, and Balinese dance, batik, and painting.
Before we went on the air, I saw a picture of Mary Charlotte in a sarong, in a barong, wearing a sarong inside a barong.
Barong is this mythical Balinese creature with big bulging eyes. A lot of the Balinese masks that you see are barongs. And when they do a dance, in the traditional Balinese dance, this barong is a giant costume that needs two people. The front, one person that operates the head and the jaws, and the other people is in the back, under the back end of the barong, and they do this dance, and they're good. They keep evil away.
Well, that's pretty cool. I'd love to see you in a sarong. Sort of like Dorothy L'Amour with the accent on the Amour.
Everybody wore sarongs because you have to go, if you go into a temple in Bali, you should wear a sarong with a sash. And that's what we did.
Yeah,
went to a lot of temples, wore a lot of sarongs.
Excellent. You had a great time.
Sarongs, I think, are a plot to keep women from taking big steps.
Oh, so there's something anti-feminist about it.
But because the way women tie their sarongs, you can barely walk. The way men tie their sarongs, they have striding room.
Huh. Do you wear any underclothes?
Seems like it would be really hot.
Moving right along.
Okay, Stanley Foreman is at Monroe Gallery of Photography, part of an exhibition of more than 60 iconic photographs by photojournalists called 1,000 Words. Opens today with a reception from 5 to 7. That's a great photo gallery. There's a great image in today's Pasatiempo in the one-page section, Exhibitionism, which tells us what's happening this weekend, what's opening at the visual arts galleries. Now, you know about St. John's College Music on the Hill series?
Of course.
Michael Herndon, 6 o'clock Wednesday night on the athletic field, free. Food is available. You can take the bus there, 984-6000. It's not even a long walk, really, from downtown. It's a really lovely walk if it's not pouring rain.
And at the Santa Fe Complex, Summer of the Complex continues tonight at sunset with Projected Light. It's a drive-in theater for the 21st century is what they call it. 8 artists projecting their creations in sound and video in the interior and exterior walls of the complex. And they've got other things tomorrow and coming up, so keep your eyes on Santa Fe Complex. You can go see more about them at sfcomplex.org.
I have a few friends who are projection artists, and I have to say, I really didn't know a lot about it until I met them, and seeing some of the work that they do and some of the beautiful, beautiful things that they make and the interplay of light and texture and surface, it's amazing.
I'm going to be talking to them on Tuesday morning of next week at the cafe.
Excellent.
Worth listening to, friends.
What the hell was I going to talk about? Oh, it's the week of Santa Fe Bandstand. It starts.
Yay. That's a great program. Tell us about it.
It starts Monday night on the plaza at 6 o'clock. It's free. And if I'm not mistaken, every Tuesday and Thursday they do it at noon as well. So here's what I understand. Monday night is the, what the heck is happening? Oh, La Familia Vigil at noon. The Clan Tinker Family Circus Juggling and Magic Show at 6. So that's sort of a different sort of opening act, but those guys are great. On Tuesday, you have Outside In, which is the presenter, has Felix y Los Gatos doing Western and Gypsy Swing, and Rose's Pawn Shop. These bands have great titles. 6 p.m., no charge. On Wednesday, again, 6 o'clock on the plaza, you can go and see Salsa Reda and L'Hombre del Sol, Chicano
Yay.
Sol. Yeah, I know, 6 o'clock.
I noticed in Plaza this morning there's a fantastic clippable calendar of everything that's going on the bandstand, page 64, for you refrigerator magnet junkies such as myself.
Yes, I was just about to refer to that page as soon as I finished looking at the lingerie ads for underpinnings.
I hear that you guys were very naughty while I was away.
Don't be ridiculous.
I didn't hear anything like that, Mary Charlotte.
I heard that you were naughty and that you talked about how I was going to yell at you when I got back and stuff like that.
I don't have any memory of a conversation like that whatsoever.
No, we were good as gold.
It's absolutely. It's on the podcast.
I know, but we
There's
went down
evidence.
There to try to erase them at like 2 in the morning.
I know, but you can't because you don't have the password. Only
it, it turns out that little pink rubber erasers do not work on hard drives.
On computer screens.
I was chagrined to find that out.
We tried the credit card thing to break in down there, and it was very embarrassing.
We had to call Dal for bail money.
I know.
He was like, forget it. I'm not bailing you guys out.
We were just talking about little things that are important to guys that women don't like to talk about.
So how can you tell when there's a Pasatiempo associate editor in your office? Whiteout marks on the computer screen.
Oh, you think that's funny?
I think it's hilarious.
Four weeks on my side, you turn against.
She,
see, this is what happens.
It's much
every time
funnier
she gets,
when she
doesn't matter who she
you.
Has in this third chair. It's two against one. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to be flummoxed by the two of you or flabbergasted or anything else with an FL in it.
You already are.
White out on the computer screen. All right, so what was I talking about before?
I
was okay, so yeah, go ahead, check out the bandstand.
Oh, right. Yeah, they've got a great lineup every year, and basically free concerts for the community on the plaza.
Cool.
It's incredible.
And Buddha Station's reopened halfway up the road to Taos on the left. A lot of music happening here. Susan Clark and Justin Bransford there tonight, 5 to 8:30 p.m. And Nacho Mendez is there on Sunday from noon to 4.
I don't know if they still have it, but it used to be one of the finest places in Santa Fe to get red chili and green chili beer.
And yeah, I'm not sure what their brewery situation is, but it was great mini or micro brewery. I remember I used to get some great beers there. Here's a phone number, 505-854-4704. So if you do want to drive out of town, head on up to Embudo.
Hey, what about Bandelier? Bandelier National Monument, in addition to being a wonderful place to visit to see the ruins and incredible natural setting up there, they also have cultural programs. So tonight, a drum-making demonstration by Tim Herrera of Cochiti Pueblo. And Saturday and Sunday, the July 4th and 5th, flint napping demonstration.
Oh, wow.
What
by
the hell?
By Harvey Abeda of Santo Domingo Pueblo. Flint Monday, napping. Jewelry demonstration. And next week, Zuni Dancers, all sorts of good things. So you can check the park website of Bandelier for more information.
These are very useful skills for after the apocalypse.
Oh, like what?
Flint napping and drum making.
What is flint napping?
I believe, and I'm sure that all our anthropologist listeners will correct me on this, but I believe flint napping is when you chip chunks off a piece of flint to make it sharp. See, if I say things with authority, things that I'm only vaguely sure about, then I hope that people will actually believe them and not check.
And that's my
sources.
Dilemma and downfall. I don't speak with authority. I sort of say, I'm not sure if this is right. But I always figure, like him, that somebody will call in.
Yeah, they don't always. So say everything correctly or say you don't know, please. Thank you very much.
Look it up on Wikipedia. I will quickly make some adjustments to the flint napping entry if I'm incorrect.
Oh, okay.
No, Wikipedia is not a good source.
Yes,
don't
it is.
It's the best source.
It's still not very accurate.
Yes, it is.
What time is it?
It's as accurate. It's almost as accurate as the Encyclopedia Britannica. 8:55.
Check out Paul Weideman's excellent column today on the 100-year anniversary of the Santa Fe Depot. Its history, what's happening with trying to renovate it. It's a really nice two-piece spread with some great photos, great historical photos, courtesy Palace of the Governor's Photo Archives. By the way, today being is today the state and city holiday.
It
so
is.
So no banks, no library,
no
government
control.
Offices. You guys are open, right, though?
We're open. The shelter's open. The animal control and animal services offices are not, although their excellent officers are on duty.
Right, and I imagine there's other closings over the weekend, so pay attention. I wonder if Connie's Food Town is open today. I like going to that place. Tonight's the first Friday Art Walk on Palace Avenue, 5 to 7:30. Head on down there if you want to walk around Palace before you head up to the opera. So are you going to, like, a tailgating party?
I don't think so. I don't know.
You're not going to go up and munch out there?
I'm not really sure. I haven't gotten that far yet. But knapping, spelled with a K, is the shaping of flint, chert, obsidian, or other stone through the process of lithic reduction to manufacture stone tools, strikers for flintlock firearms, or to produce flat-faced stones for building or facing walls, and flushwork decoration.
Let's check with the judges. Judges, was I right on this?
Yes.
We got a thumbs up from the judges.
We got a thumbs up.
Sweet. Didn't even have to shift the Wikipedia entry.
This is so unfair. The two of you just decide these things occur, and
it's
fine.
And on Wikipedia, it has been suggested that this article or section be merged with lithic reduction, and you can participate in a discussion on that topic.
I had a girlfriend do that, and it worked out terribly. She looked bigger than ever.
She wasn't trying to reduce your lithic?
Mary Charlotte, quite a touché.
You're all siding with her. This is every time.
I am an impartial referee.
My best
referee
friends
here.
Come on the show. They go immediately. Rob DeWall, Hollis Walker, they get these third parties, and they always swing over her way.
Hey, I got a message from Dal Dearman, our general manager, saying to say hi to you guys, and that we are going to be on the plaza from 8 until noon tomorrow.
Thank you, Dal, for that update. I'll be
one
talking
One of the things
to you
that
later.
Dal and I have in common is a deep and impassioned love for pancakes.
Pancakes are very good.
I look at pancakes not just as a vehicle for syrup, but as a delicious, fluffy breakfast material in its own right.
Well, I'll tell you something. In Bali, just about every morning, I had green pancakes with green banana pancakes, and they were very good.
That sounds delicious.
This used to be my show.
You know, things changed a lot while Mary Charlotte was gone.
They certainly did.
Of course, they'll change a lot as soon as I step away from the table.
I mean, it's like being one of the little rascals that's outgrowing his part and all the others, and like Stymie can't figure it out at the end.
You'll be back to normal next Friday when I'm not here.
You can come back.
We'll see. Sweet.
See that? Now we suddenly got a third party. Believe me, there's got to be a Larry in the Three Stooges, and it's going to be me, the guy that has the least to do, which doesn't mean he didn't stick around. Longevity and patience helps. It's been a great show. Thanks. What time
Thank
is it?
Thank you. It's 8:58, and it's time to go.
Okay. You want us to sing Don't Fence Me In real quick?
I don't remember the lyrics.
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine
Just
in Santa Fe, New
Mexico. Just look for the whiteout on the computer screen.
He's with us just about every Friday, speaking of the arts.
Oh, that's
Bill
what you
Hutchison
think.
Is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and he's joined us just to have more fun.
Oh, no, he's moving up
and
the
he'll
ladder,
be back,
that's obvious.
He'll be back every...
That's what you think.
Last Friday of the month.
First Friday of the month.
First Friday of the month, which is what today is for Animal Friday.
Don't forget to check out our cats.
And don't forget to check out the cats at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society.
And feel free to tune in to my radio show, The Anthologist Cabinet,
tonight,
at 9.
At
9 tonight.
Forgive the shameless plug.
Show. No, that's it really is.
It's a great show. I should
I'm
going to
come on your show sometime.
To that way.
So
tonight is the Patriot Act episode.
There's music about the Patriot Act.
There will be tonight.
There will be tonight. Incredible. No, you are an amazing DJ. I love your show.
It's very nice of you.
So tonight at 9 here on KSFR.
Can I come out and do cowboy songs with you one
episode? Santa's only public radio station. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at KSFR.org. You can email me at the email radiocafe@ksfr.org. You can leave a message at 428-1528. I haven't checked messages in a month, so if you left it in the last month, they may have gotten erased, so just try again.
I just checked my messages. It's Bally. They want you back. Bring Bill.
We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can check me out at facebook.com/radiocafe.
Oh, you're on Facebook.
Yeah.
I wish there was a body book, don't you, where they showed more revealing pictures of
that tired sigh. I don't think it's just jet lag.
You're on my side for 3 weeks on this stuff. All of a sudden, you're shifting over.
I'm on everybody's side.
Oh, I see the political side of this.
Broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte, and now Robert is going to sing Don't Fence Me In.
It's time to say goodbye. I'll see you around. Don't fence me in.
Every time we say goodbye, I cry a little.
Reduced to a cameo role. I've got to talk to my agent and my lawyer about this.
Robert Knott, we love you exactly the way you are, and you're fabulous.
Totally true.
See you next week, probably without Bill Hutchison.
Okay, he can come if he wants to.
If you guys are lucky.
No, swing by.
Hasta la vista, babies.
Adios.
Bye.